And now a story that begins literally across borders, in a plane, traveling from this country to Kenya.
A beautiful young blonde was dead, and the suspect was an African male. I was traveling to Africa in search of his past. What I found there would either condemn or save him. As you can imagine, my business was urgent. How many times had I thought of Africa? Not many, I'm afraid. Yes, I knew of Africa. After all, it was the land of my ancestors, a place I vaguely longed for without really wanting to belong to it. I might as well say it here. Coming from the U.S., there was a part of me that had come to believe Africa was a land of wars, hunger, disease, and dirt, even as my black skin pulled me towards it. So how many times had I thought of Africa? Not many, not in a real way. The funny thing, though, was, now that I was actually in a plane on my way to Africa, I found myself surrounded by whiteness, the passengers, the crews, and the pilots. I looked outside, watching the full moon hover in the sky beyond the tip of the aeroplane wing, and below I saw what looked like an island of lights engulfed by perfect darkness. Then we landed, and everyone clapped. I was tired and a little tipsy from the complimentary Budweisers the crew had offered me. And so it was that, a little bit drunk, I took my first steps in Africa.
Makoma Wagugi is one of a new generation of transnational African writers. Born in the U.S., but raised in Kenya, his novels deal with the politics of race and class across international borders. His books include Nairobi Heat and Black Star Nairobi. Steve Paulson tracked him down.
Makoma, the opening pages of your first novel, Nairobi Heat, are set in Africa, but the plot, the crime, actually starts in Madison, Wisconsin. Do you consider this a Kenyan novel, or is it a transnational novel, or do these distinctions even matter?
I tend to think of it more personally. I think of it as my novel. But definitely, I would say it fits in a trend of transnational African literature. You know, there is a group of us who are born in African countries and then lived in the U.S., or in my case, vice versa. I was born in the U.S., but lived in Kenya for half my life before coming back. So there are ways in which really my imagination draws freely from Kenya and also the U.S.
Well, your central character in these detective stories is this detective named Ishmael. How would you describe him?
I would describe him as a person who worries about his place in the world, but also very, very much worried about the nature of justice. He's really a good guy who finds himself in very extreme situations, and sometimes he has to act against his conscience.
And he's always a bit of an outsider, an African-American man who's never been to Africa, who's probably never thought about it that much, but then suddenly finds himself dealing with this very different culture.
Yeah, the question of Africans and African-Americans, because of my own, you know, the way I grew up in both places, has been very central to my imagination. I had some black American friends in the early 90s who went to Kenya as part of the study abroad program. They were hoping Kenya to be welcoming, you know, because of the shared blackness, you know, and a shared history of in this case, of slavery and colonialism. But when they got there, people started calling them Mzungu. You know, a Mzungu is a term, it's a Kiswahili name for a white person. You know, and they ended up being so distraught that they left Kenya early.
Hmm. What you're doing in these crime novels is so fascinating because you're dealing with complicated political worlds, social dynamics, racial dynamics, in detective stories. And so obviously you're sort of playing on this tradition of the crime novel. And so I'm wondering how you see that. I mean, how does your detective Ishmael fit into sort of this long tradition of cops in crime stories?
Well, I mean, you know, intellectually I've always been interested in popular fiction and popular literature. I've been influenced by Walter Mosley, whose most famous novel is Devil in a Blue Dress, that features an African-American detective. And in his novels, he does something very interesting. He's able to take this genre that traditionally, you know, belonged to people like Raymond Chandler, a genre that spoke for whiteness in a way. So and he's able to take it and bring in issues of identity, of racism. So I wanted to do something similar.
But you could have done this in a different kind of literary novel. I guess I'm wondering why this genre of crime fiction?
Oh, because you can do so much with it. You know, I like to think of it as having endless possibilities. For example, in Black Star Nairobi, and also Nairobi Heat, actually, you know, I've seen critics call them very, very violent. I think with this sort of a genre, I can be as graphically violent as the story needs, actually be as graphically violent as reality. And I think with realist fiction, there's always, even though you might be writing about genocide, I think there's something that's supposed to be pleasant,
right,
you know, about realist fiction.
Well, and then to make things even more interesting, we should mention your father, who's a very famous Kenyan writer, Ngugi Wa-Thiong'o, who is very well known for his advocacy of work written in indigenous African languages. And here you are writing in English in the noir, typically American hardboiled style. I mean, sort of you couldn't get further away from what your father writes. It's rather interesting, I have to say.
In terms of language, I agree a lot with his position, you know, especially for people like me who can speak Kikuyu and can write in Kikuyu, which Kikuyu is my language, is my first language. I do think as writers, we have a duty to our languages. And we have been answering that question for myself slowly and over time. You know, but for him also, he does understand the politics of trying to publish in African languages. So for him, he says, well, if you have a novel to write, don't say you won't write it until you can write it in an African language. Write the novel. It's better the novel is there, you know, than it's not.
Yeah. So what happens to Ishmael when he goes to Africa, then, when he goes to Kenya? I mean, what does he have to struggle with?
Well, now, when he goes to Kenya, he finds that the sense of justice is not what he's used to in the U.S., though he does suspect in the U.S. he has an illusion of that justice is always served. But anyway, he gets there and he finds that the violence is unmitigated by anything, you know. So within a few hours of landing, he's in a shootout, him and his counterpart, the Kenyan counterpart by the name of O. At the same time, issues of blackness, which he had never really, really thought of. I mean, they were always there, but he had never really, really thought of what does it mean to be black? What does it mean to be not just a black American, but black in relation to Africa?
Mm-hmm. Now, we should talk some more about O. He's sort of his fascinating character. How would you describe O?
I would describe him as a guy who has found a way of living in the normal world of having a wife who is a school teacher, you know. So he's a guy who does like a 9-to-5 and comes home and has dinner, you know, and
they have a very nice marriage.
And have a very nice marriage, you know. But once he's outside the house, he can indulge in extreme violence without wincing, you know. And like Ishmael, who still has a conscience, you know, Ishmael vomits every time he shoots somebody. He can't stomach that violence.
Is it clear that O and Ishmael are always the good guys, that they're always on the side of justice? Or does that line get blurred?
Well, it's constantly blurred, you know, because essentially what people like O are doing are what now Amnesty International would call extrajudicial killings, right? A few years ago, the Kenyan police were accused by the Kenya National Human Rights Commission of taking out poor young men from the slums like Mathare and taking them out to the forest and shooting them. And for the cops who are doing that, their logic was, you know, these guys are probably thieves, you know, or will be thieves, you know, so it's some sort of preemptive justice. So that's the kind of logic that O has. And, you know, I ended up modeling O after detectives who are assigned to protect my father. As you mentioned, he's a writer. At some point, he was in political exile. And then when he went back, he was attacked. Now, the people who attacked him were put on trial. But for us to attend that trial, we had to be under police protection. So we ended up spending a lot of time, you know, with these Kenyan detectives. And through that, I was able to start understanding their duality.
Hmm. Now, what one of the conventions of the crime novel genre is that the central character, the cop, brings order into a world of disorder, gives justice where there is none. Are you trying to bring order into your worlds?
No, I mean, they can't, you know. I mean, with Blackstone Nairobi, I actually ended the novel with a question of why. As a way of trying to show that these characters have undertaken this journey. And yes, you know, a few things are better, you know, because they saved the day. But really, essentially all their work, and they understand it as such, is essentially a raindrop in an ocean, right? Essentially, they're swimming against the current of disorder.
Well, I'd love to end with one more passage from your second novel, Black Star Nairobi. And by this time, Ishmael has moved to Africa, and he sort of set up shop there, working in partnership with O. Could you read a passage as he's reflecting on what it's like to now be living in Africa?
Yeah, sure. I hadn't felt American for a long time. In fact, I had not wanted to. A black man from the U.S., I like getting lost in the sea of blackness in Kenya rather than standing out in a sea of whiteness in Madison, Wisconsin. But the idea that a fellow American, a black man like me, could be shot and his body left in the middle of Gong Forest to be devoured by hyenas stirred up an anger in me that I knew was dangerous. In the U.S., we died in all sorts of ways, but never like this. The body in Gong, it reminded me of English 101, Antigone. The king leaves a rebel's body to be devoured by wild beasts. It didn't end well for everyone involved. I just knew there was no coming back from this one, whatever it was.
Bukoma Wagugi is the author of Nairobi Heat and Black Star Nairobi. Steve Paulson talked with him.